We're going to continue to talk on the uniqueness of being born again and what really happened to you when you asked Jesus into your heart. Like most Christians, when I asked Jesus in my heart, I was a little younger, of course, but I thought that I was just escaping hell. We heard it preached that if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. But through Jesus, you can get to heaven. And that's a great incentive to be born again. But there's so much more available to us through salvation. And I'm afraid that many Christians never experience all that God has for them in this life. When we're born in the world, everyone's different. No one's the same. Different countries, there's different economic situations, different family situations, many different things that cause us to be more or less victorious in this life. And so we look across the world and we see people driving different cars, some broke, some rich. We see many different situations. I remember visiting my parents when they went down, they retired and went down to a place called Yuma, Arizona. And a lot of Canadians, they call them snowbirds because they would escape the snow and in the winter go down to beautiful Arizona where the weather in the winter is beautiful. And there was all kinds of different people there. Many had retired and were just living 3 months. And they all had different homes and different vehicles that they drove. And there was a definite difference in their lifestyle and in who had how much money. And so in this world, we're familiar with people being more or less victorious in this life. We just go to any high school when they take tests. Some students get A's, some students get F's and fail. Well, that's how life is, where we all don't get the same stuff that we just start off with, and we have to work with what we have. Well, that can creep into your Christianity. That, I understand, it can creep into you as a child of God, thinking that I may not be as important as someone else, or I may not have what it takes to be as victorious as someone else. And that's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie to have us accept a lesser walk with God while we're on this earth. And so as we discuss some of these scriptures, I'm really praying that the imagery of who you are and the understanding of who you are when you're born again will get into your heart so you and I can both believe for the fullness of Christ in us and not just accept a lesser standard on this earth. And of course, when we all get to heaven, that's the ultimate prize, that we spend eternity with God. We've already won. But on this earth, we can have an impact and we can make a change. And God wants to do it specifically through you. And so the basic understanding that we have to accept and the basic understanding that we have to get into our heart in truth. You want this from the Word of God. You want this to be truth in you so you won't accept less. Is that when you became a child of God, you stopped being the child of your family. And now, you know, me and Christy have two little creatures that we created, Harrison and Ava. Harrison is 15 right now and Ava is 12. Now, we created these creatures. They're ours. Harrison accepted Jesus a few years ago, as well as Ava. And the moment they were born again, the moment Harrison, my son, accepted Jesus into his life, he was born again, and technically and practically in every manner, God became his father. At that moment, when my earthly son asked Jesus into his heart, he received a new nature, and that new nature brought to life his inner man, his inner body, and he was born a new creature. He was actually created with the image of Christ inside of him. And so at that moment, he became my brother. I became his brother, and he became my brother, technically and practically. And God actually became his father. And I actually became his brother. Now, we don't tell him that until he's 18. Otherwise, he'll try to override me all the time with, God, my father told me this. And so we try not to overteach that here in our household until they're old enough. And so we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to expose some truths about how much changed in you. See, when you're brought up in this world, you accept that there's people who drive nicer cars. There's people who are wealthier. I know some wealthy people. But, you know, they're wealthy, but there's wealthier people. There's people who won't even shop in the malls that my wealthy friends will shop into. There's all kinds of levels of wealth. There's always someone wealthier. There's always someone smarter. There's always someone who can sing better. There's always someone who can play better and kick the soccer ball better. There's always someone better in life. And we accept that in the world, but we don't have to accept that in Christianity. We're not in competition with one another, but we don't want to lower our expectations of what God wants to do through us personally, because we just think someone got something better. See, the nature that you received at salvation is the same class, the same exact same quality as the nature that I received. It's actually from Christ. We received the same. And inside of that nature is the image of Jesus. We have both in us the same nature of Christ with the same image, with the same expectations of holiness and walking out the will of God in our life. Now, the will of God will be different for you as it is for me in what He has for you to do. But the expectation of all that I can have, and I can't look at my brother and say, I get to be less holy than you in life because I got a little less than you did. God expects less out of me because I have a harder fight. No, we both received the same expectations with the new nature we received, that we will walk in holiness. We may have different fights and maybe a harder fight in some areas and some days, but the truth is God expects you and for me to walk in holiness because we have the new nature. Jesus, by His nature, walked in holiness. We should also walk in holiness by that same nature that's in us. And so, as we see what else changed, what else happened in us when we were born again, then we can start to expect more and expect and believe for more and walk in more of God because we know who we are in Christ. So, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, we're going to start in verse 17, and we're just going to look at a few verses. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. So, when you asked Jesus into your life, you became a new creature. So, let's start with that. You became a new creature, born of God through Jesus, with God as your Father. And as the new creature, the new creation of God, you were birthed of God, that means you have to decide, did I get less than the guy down the street? And that means God expects less from me? Less devotion, less commitment, less holiness, less practicing seeking Him? If God expects less, then I can expect less. And that means I don't have to push myself or walk a certain way. I can just stop right here. And God's okay with that. And although God accepts us anywhere we are in life, He does want us and desire for us and expect us to finish the course that He laid out for us at our salvation. And so when we read here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's an expectation that, hey, it doesn't matter how I was born in this world, what nation I'm from. It doesn't matter what my family looked like or what my struggles are from this world. I'm a new creation, and the rules have changed. I may in the world have to accept a different standard, a lower standard or a less standard. But in the family of God, I don't have to accept that I can have less, or I don't have to be proudful and say I get more, because we're all created and born of God. You are a new creation. So all the rules changed from your country, from your family. All the rules have changed because now you and I are from God. And God is expecting and hoping that you and I will walk in the fullness of the plan that He's laid out for us. And not for us never to give up on that, no matter what we struggle through, no matter what we battle through, no matter what we have to come through, we can expect victory in our life and never give up. Never stop believing that. Never stop believing for the best. We're going to go back one chapter to chapter 4. And this is one of the core verses on being a unique creature. Therefore, verse 16, we do not lose heart. Even though our outer man is perishing, our inner man is being renewed day by day. So these are a couple of verses that I want to shine a light on to raise our expectations. Our outward man is perishing, but our inner man is being renewed day by day. This is something you have to answer within yourself and decide what that means. What does it mean that my inner man is being renewed? What does that mean? There's many different ideas. People preach this many different ways. But ultimately, you're responsible for what you believe. The inner man is being renewed. Why, if I receive the new nature from God, why is it my inner man needing to be renewed? That word renewed is renovate or rebuilt. Why is my inner man having to be rebuilt and my outward man is perishing day by day? Why is this here? And you think about it, that the Apostle Paul is having to describe to the churches and to the people what happened to them when they were born again. And we can make it through life and get to heaven just with the understanding that when I asked Jesus in my heart, I got saved and I get to go to heaven. And that's a great understanding. But really, if that's all we get, we will limit ourselves with what we're going to believe for and what we're going to walk in and expect. So the inner man is being renewed day by day. So we have this fight in us the moment we're born again that we didn't have before salvation. And that fight is, I have an outward man that's perishing and an inner man being renewed day by day. In Romans 8, let's go there. We're going to read what Paul wrote to the people in Rome. Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So here again, we can see a contrast. And whenever you're talking to someone and you're making a contrast, a comparative, something that you compare, it's always in the same category. So you don't say, I was racing down the road in my car. I beat the other guy. He was sitting in his house. That doesn't compute because it's not an accurate comparison. But you can say, I was racing down the road in my pickup truck and I beat the Camaro beside me. Or I was racing down the road in my bicycle and I passed a guy who was riding his bicycle or riding even a horse. There's movement. There's a comparison. And so when he's talking about, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness, that's a sign that you can look at, what is he comparing this to? The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. See, when you were born again, you received the new nature, and that new nature brought to life the inner man. The inner body was brought to life, the spiritual body was brought to life because of the new nature. So your inner man, in essence, received the nature of Christ in it, and now it's alive, where the outward man, this outward body, was left for dead. And not dead like a dead animal on the road. Otherwise, the moment you got saved, you and I, the moment we went to the altar and knelt down, we would just collapse and they have a funeral and you'd be in heaven. And we'd be glad we'd be in heaven, but we'd be useless to do anything on this earth. God wants us to change this earth and have an impact on this earth. I want us to understand that not only did I get the same nature from Christ as you did, meaning from that nature, we expect it to say the same thing. Your new nature will not tell you or express to you something different than me. It won't tell you not to do something and tell me I can do something, because our natures are not connected, but they're equal. They're the same. They come from the same place, from Jesus. So because we have a new nature, it will tell us exactly the same thing, which would be holiness and righteousness. and not just that, but to expect everything from God. You are a child of God, connected to God, born of God. You can expect all things to come into your life. And really, that's the gospel, to expect all that God has to be freely yours by inheritance, not earned, not purchased. Now, let's keep on this imagery and understanding. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. And these are core verses that we're using to understand the inner man, the inner body. You'll hear people say, God spoke to me. He spoke to my spirit. Now, I want just to pause there. What does that mean in practicality? God spoke to your spirit. Well, way down in here, I heard him say, or I felt him say something. Okay, well, you used heard, and God spoke, and God gave you revelation knowledge. Where does that revelation knowledge stay? Where does it go? Well, down to my spirit. So, is the spirit then a little ball of spirit material that contains knowledge and you can hear? This is something that I've struggled with for years, trying to understand what really happened when I was born again. But when I see that my inner man was brought to life, my inner body was brought to life, then I can understand that I have a spiritual brain that was brought to life, and now that spiritual brain can understand truth and knowledge. And because I have a spiritual brain, God can now teach me things that he couldn't teach me before I was saved. He can now share things with me that I can understand and revelate with, because it's alive and it's full of life. The new nature brought it to life. Where the outward man, this outward shell, this body, this outward house, made of flesh and meat and bone, including my natural brain, can never understand the things of God because it's not born again. It was left for dead. And its purpose is to let me walk on this earth. But that's it. That's the only purpose that it has. And it's supposed to submit to my inner man. I can choose who I listen to, my outward man or my inner man. But I get to choose. But because I have an inner man that's alive, that tells me I don't have to put up with my limitations from my outward man. I don't have to put up with the limitations of my education, the limitations of my ability to memorize. I don't have to put up with those limitations because they don't limit me anymore, because my inner man is alive and full of life and has the capacity to know God. On the inside, I'm an Einstein. I have the ability to know as much of God as I want. I can have as much of God as I want because I've been born again. Now I can overcome anything. I can do anything he tells me to do. I'm not limited like I was in the world. In the world, you're limited. Put it this way, there's always someone smarter. There's always someone better. There's always someone richer. There's always someone more educated. There's always someone more intellectual. There's always someone who can sing better, can dance better. There's always someone better. But in the kingdom of God, we are all equal. We have all got the same access and the same ability to walk with God. We may walk in God different. God may have a different calling than you, than with me. And so he may ask you to do things and go places and do stuff different than he asked me. But as far as knowing God and walking in the victories that God has promised us, then there's one person is not less than the next, because we are born in a family that is equal. You are a child of God. Verse 19, Luke 16. Jesus is speaking. He says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there is a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So we see here two people, different classes, different levels in the world. One rich, one poor. So it was that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Again, Abraham's bosom is a holding place. Another name for it was paradise. This is the place that everyone who was going to heaven when Jesus resurrected from the dead, this is where they had to go to be held until Jesus came and finished what he was here to do. And so Jesus came and became sin. He came in the place of first Adam and was resurrected from the dead, and then opened the door for everyone in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, to be born again and go to heaven. We look back to Jesus, and everyone looked forward to Jesus until Jesus came. So until Jesus died and was resurrected, no one could go to heaven because no one was born again yet. Even the disciples weren't born again until Jesus died and was resurrected. The beggar who died was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So both these men have died and they've been buried. Their bodies are on this earth, but they are no longer there. They're no longer inside their bodies. So clearly we can see that the makeup of a human, the way a human is designed, is not just in this natural body. That the makeup of a human, every human who's born and is conceived, has more than just a natural carnal body. We're about to see that they also have, everyone born, every human conceived, also has an inner body. So you have right now an inner body. Before you were saved, you had an inner body. And that inner body, we'll see a little glimpse here, is just like your outward body. It's very practical. I think part of the purpose of these videos is to encourage you that spirituality isn't always goosebumps and sensationalism or feelings. Many times, if not all the time, spirituality is very practical. It's very purposeful. So they're both buried on this earth. They're both there. Their bodies are there. And if you did an autopsy and opened up their head, there would be a brain inside there. Well, what does that mean then? When I go to the afterlife, like these guys did, do I have no brain? Is my brain here? Do I have no emotions? What is it? How does it work? And when you see this practically, when you see the imagery and you understand who you really are, I'm a new man. I have a new nature. Not only do I have a new nature, my new nature brought to life my inner man. Now my inner man is alive and I can be smart in the things of God. I can gain knowledge in the things of God. And with that knowledge, I can put to death and mortify the wrong knowledge and the wrong truths. You know, many people live their whole life bound to insecurity, bound to emotional problems, bound to fear, bound to brokenness, to hurt, that they actually carry in their natural man. And they try to carry that into God, into following God. I can't do that because this happened to me, or I didn't get that. But you're now born again. You're a new creature. You're created of God. You're born of God. You can have as much of God as you want. There's no limitations on how much of God or how much of His will you can walk into. Except you can limit it. And it also will help us to see that I also have an outward man that is what was called the flesh sometimes, the outward body. That's where I get natural emotions. That's where I get fear from, insecurity, any depression, any unhappiness, any anger, jealousy, envy, strife, all that is emotions in your natural man. But you're no longer that person. You're wearing the body of that person, but you're no longer that person. So that means you can overcome all those things. There's nothing limiting you. So verse 23, and being in torment in Hades, the rich man, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off. So the rich man, he had the ability to recognize Abraham and Lazarus. So he recognized him. Now this is in the afterlife. These men are dead on this earth. They left their bodies. Their bodies fell off of them. But they still had the same makeup. We can see he has a finger and he lifted up his eyes. So he saw. So you can see, you can look. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame. So there, this man is still alive. People who are conceived, my children, we brought them to life. Me and Christy created two creatures, Harrison and Ava, who are going to live forever. Every person conceived lives for eternity. Every person ever conceived in the history of the world since Adam is still alive today. They still exist today. Now, they may be in heaven or they may be in hell, but they still exist today. Both of these men have an inner body, but one is on a track to go to heaven, the beggar, and one is on the track to spend eternity in hell, and that's the rich man. Well, he's not rich anymore, and the beggar's not a beggar anymore. But they had inner bodies. One's going to heaven, one's going to hell. They have inner bodies, and they have fingers. We can see fingers and eyes. He recognized Lazarus and Abraham. He had emotions. He's in torment, and he begged for mercy. He had feelings and emotions. So that means that right now, you have the makeup of an inner body that is alive because you're born again. And you have the same makeup where you have the ability to see and be able to hear and the ability to talk. You have a tongue, you have fingers, you have eyes, you have the ability to feel. So that hasn't changed when you die, that you have that right now. You have the ability to feel and see and hear and learn with your inner body, while your outward body can be broken and a mess. But your inner man is not the same as your outward man. God had to leave us in this outward body because the work's not done. The gospel's not done until the trumpet sounds, until this earth is folded up like a garment, the whole universe is burnt up in flames, and God gives his children a new earth and a new heavens, a new universe to spend eternity with him. The work isn't done yet. So he had an inner body. Listen, this is men who are dead, and they have an inner body. Now, why is one in hell and one in paradise in Abraham's bosom? Well, for many reasons, but one is going to end up in heaven, the other one is going to end up in hell, but they're both existing. These two guys still exist today. We're going to go over to 1 Corinthians now, and just stay with me. I really, really just pray you get this understanding, because this helped me to quit believing for less. This helped me to pursue God with all my heart and know that I won't be let down. When I was a kid, I remember in elementary school, I wanted to play baseball. And so I signed up for the school team and they had tryouts. I don't know why, but for some reason I wanted to be the catcher, the guy who sits behind the plate and they throw the ball. And as a catcher, I was good, but the coach said, "Alan, I'm sorry, you know, because when you're playing in sports, it's the best guy gets to play." And the coach said, "Alan, you need to get stronger at throwing the ball from the behind the plate to the second baseman." And I remember saying, "Okay, I'll do it." I spent hours. I mean, I took my own time outside of practice and spent hours. And I'd take a bunch of balls and I'd throw it against the school. The school was a brick building. And I would just throw it and throw it and throw the balls. And I'd go collect the balls. And I kept doing that for hours and hours for a few weeks, thinking I'm getting stronger so the coach will pick me. Well, when I went to try out again and say, "Okay, I've improved. I've worked hard at this." I went there and tried out for that position again. The coach said to me, "You have improved, but you're still not good enough to be the catcher for the team." Because there was a couple of guys who were just naturally stronger and more capable. What does that do to a young man when he learns that you can try out and put the effort in and still not be good enough? Well, that can make you think, why even try if I'm not going to get what I'm after? Because I'll never be as good as those other guys because I just don't have the physical makeup like they do. Now, I was good at certain things. I was really good at rugby. I was really good at soccer, but I just wasn't good at baseball. Or good enough to be, you know, the main player on the team. Well, in God's kingdom, it doesn't work like that. If you make the effort, you won't be denied. If you make the effort to grow spiritually, to grow in the knowledge of God, it will change your life. You will not be turned down. There won't be someone who is more qualified when it comes to the walk that you have with God. God will not deny you. You won't spend time investing into the spirit man through prayer and worship and meditating the Word of God. You can't spend 1 minute of prayer. You can't read one verse of the Bible. You can't worship God for 1 minute and it not cause you to grow and it not move you forward in God. You won't spend an effort on spiritual growth and then go to God and he said, "Ah, nice job. Sorry, but not good enough." That is impossible because you are a child of God and your inner man is brought to life. And that inner man now, because it's alive and it's lit up by the new nature, which came from the same place that my new nature came from, that means that we can be equally as holy as Jesus was holy. And fundamentally, it even says that we can do what Jesus did because we have the same new nature and we have the same light that lit up our inner man. So we're going to just read another couple verses here in 1 Corinthians. These are so important. This is such a great understanding that we need to have. I feel the body of Christ has cut itself short because it hasn't reached into this understanding of who you are in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll spend more time on this in upcoming videos, but let's look at verse 6. However, we speak wisdom to those who are mature. So he says that we do receive wisdom to those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So all the success in the world, all the victories that the world has more money, who's stronger, who's more capable, Apostle Paul says all that's coming to nothing. It's not anything to God. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory. So he talks about a hidden wisdom, a mystery, a secret that God has had since the beginning of time that he was unable to tell man. So there's a mystery. I mean, how smart is God? I mean, how incredible is God's knowledge? I'm sure there's lots of things that he wants to tell us, but we couldn't receive. But if you're born of him, you might be able to understand some things from him. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes had not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for those who love him. So Paul is saying there's mystery, there's spiritual knowledge and truth that comes from the kingdom of God, the heavenly realm, from God's own mind. There's mysteries that he could not tell men. He couldn't tell the rulers of this world. And then he says in verse 9, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So these are the mysteries. This is things, knowledge, truth that God wants to share, but he couldn't share with men. But look at verse 10, talking about the mysteries that have been in existence before time, before the world was ever created. But God has revealed them to us. So Paul says, but now there's no secrets that God won't share with you. What? I can understand. What? I can understand mysteries from heaven. Not mysterious things, but truth that is very simple to God can get into me where it becomes a truth in me. I get it now. I understand. Not just, wow, that's amazing, but I get it now. I understand it. I remember when I first, I was probably 16, maybe 17. I'm not an engineer. I've always been definitely destined to be a minister. So I'm not mechanically inclined. And so I always appreciated cars and understood cars to a certain extent. You put gas in it, turn the engine. In one of the courses we had when I was in junior high school, 16 or 17, they actually had a mechanic course where you'd have to go down and they made you take a tire off of a car, take it apart and take the brakes apart and rebuild it. Well, I learned there that with a vehicle, with any engine, the gasoline goes into the engine and they have a little piston and a spark plug. And what happens is the gasoline goes in, mixes with air, and goes inside that little chamber with the piston, and the spark plug makes a spark, causing an explosion. And that explosion causes the piston to move down forcefully, and then that's what makes the engine turn, and that engine causes the wheels to turn, so on and so forth. And I remember being 16, 17, which I'm very embarrassed to say it took me that long to see that. I remember thinking, wow, the car is very practical. This is very understandable. This is how it works. It's designed. Because up till then, I just thought you put gas and a car ran. I didn't understand how practical it was. Well, that's the wisdom of God that He wants to get across to you, not just to prophets and preachers and apostles, but to you and to I, to every believer, His truth that to Him is very practical. And when we receive a revelation of God, it's not to stay mystical and wow, amazing. It's to become very practical that I understand how this works. When God teaches you something, it comes to you and you begin to understand it. Well, praise God. It doesn't matter your education, your reading level. It doesn't matter how well you did in school. It doesn't matter if you went to Bible school. It doesn't matter who lays hands on you. It doesn't matter if you're anointed or not. The truth is, if you're a child of God, you can understand great revelations that come from the throne room of God, from God's mind, in a very practical way where you understand how it works. The truth of God is to be understood. Well, how can I claim to ever want to understand that? How could I claim to ever want to comprehend a truth from God? Don't you have to have like a doctorate degree in theology or be a preacher or a pastor? Or like, how do I get to where God trusts me with His secrets, His mysteries from before time? Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. God reveals the truth, deep truth, to us. I love this. Apostle Paul didn't say, God revealed it to me, so send an offering to me because I'm special. He brought Himself to the level of every believer. God revealed this to us through His Spirit. And He's saying here that because I now am born again, something amazing happened. And if you read in context, He's saying, quit thinking out of your carnal mind and start thinking out of your spiritual mind. Start knowing God and believing God out of your spirit man. And so, again, when God speaks to me this truth, He says here, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, talking about our new nature, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So now I have a new nature. Look at this. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God wants you to know Him, to know the great things He has for you, to know the promises of God so practically that they're not mystical anymore. It's not, wow, that's amazing that it worked. That we're not jumping up and down when a miracle happens because it's very practical. We expected it. We would be shocked if it didn't happen. This is the knowledge that God wants to take from His mind and place it into us. Well, why then? Let's stop and think about before you were saved. Let's stop and think about before Jesus came. Why then Did he not share these things with us before we were saved? Because if he wants to teach us something now, why didn't he teach it to me before I asked Jesus in my heart? Why did he wait until after I was born again? Well, because being born again didn't just give you a new nature. That new nature brought to life your inner body, the same inner body that the rich man and the poor man Lazarus had while they walked around in the afterlife. And because your inner body has a mind, a brain, not made of meat, not made of this earth, but made of spiritual material, you have that right now. You had that before you were born again. That's the way God created Adam. That's the way God created through Adam. Everyone born was born with an inner body and an outward body that were connected so we could live and operate in both worlds at one time. But when Adam fell, everything came dark and corrupt. But when you were born again, you received a new nature, and that new nature brought to life your inner body. Now your inner man has the ability to know and receive knowledge and contain knowledge, deep knowledge, spiritual knowledge, amazing knowledge, Einstein and higher knowledge that was taught to you directly from God. That's what you have right now. So you don't have to wait and say, one day when I get to heaven, one day when you get to heaven, you can have all these things. But you can actually have it now because you'll have the same inner body in heaven that you have right now. The only difference will be your outward body. This natural body, which is causing you all the trouble, will fall off of you. You can believe that you can know God, and you can start knowing God, knowing the deep things of God. You don't have to wait for some preacher to give it to you. If a preacher gives it to you and preaches something that's truth, truth no matter where it comes from, if it's godly truth, your inner man can receive it. But you can get it from God yourself. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, talking about the old nature. We didn't receive the nature of sin that we got from Adam. We now receive the nature from God that we got through Christ, through being born again, which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. We might know these things, and not just know them, but know them, how they work, how to practically do it. It doesn't have to be such a dramatic experience with God. It's very practical, learning who you are in Christ. Verse 13. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. So God wants to teach you who you are and what to expect, what to believe for. But it doesn't happen automatically. You don't automatically gain all this knowledge. You have to, just like when you learned ABCs and learned how to spell and how to write and how to do additions, he has to teach you this thing from the spiritual knowledge, because spiritual knowledge is not the same as natural knowledge. Natural knowledge is for the natural, but spiritual knowledge will teach you who you are in this world and how to believe God for amazing things in your life. Because we've taken, and I'm talking about the church as whole, we've taken the different levels of inequality that we are. I was born in this country. I was born to this family. I was born in this body. I was born with this ability to grow, understand things, this ability to play baseball, to throw, to sing. Whatever ability I have, there's always something better. We've let that creep into the church where we've taken positions of lesser than and exalted people to more than. I'm not talking about callings. I'm just talking about, I've felt it, I see it, that we have a whole church world where people are accepting different levels and believing for different levels because they don't expect it. They just don't know who they are. But you're born again. Your inner man came to life. That means that right now, you can know the deep things of God. Why not pursue them? I understand in the past why I didn't pursue certain things, because it took a lot of effort and work to grow in the knowledge of God. And if I didn't believe God would teach me because I couldn't understand it, then why pursue it? But once I discovered I have the capability now as a child of God, God birthed me and he brought to life my inner man, and now my inner man can understand God, can understand the knowledge of God, because my spiritual brain has that ability to understand the knowledge of God. Before I was born again, it couldn't, because it was dark. I still had a spiritual brain, but it was full of dark wisdom. It had a nature of darkness. But now that I have a nature of life, a new nature, and my inner body is alive, I have a spiritual brain that has the capacity to understand my Father, to understand the great and deep things of God. There's no limitations for you and for I. There's no limitations of how much you can know God. It doesn't matter your calling. It doesn't matter if you're called to preach or to be an entrepreneur or to be a housewife or to be a... It doesn't matter what we're called to do. As children of God, we can expect to know God equally, because we have a new nature that brought to life our inner man, and our inner man has a spiritual brain that can know the spiritual truths of God. Can bring them down to such a simplicity, to such a understanding, that we can break it apart and explain it and understand it. And it's not just some mystical thing that's so amazing, we're just hoping it happens. No, there's truth. And in truth, you'll find faith. And in faith, you'll find victory, because you have gained in the knowledge of God. So many believers have spent so little time pursuing this education to our spiritual man. Because why even try it if I'm not called to preach? Why even try it if I'm not smart enough? Why even try it if they're going to turn me down, if God's going to turn me down, or see me as not as important as other people, or not as capable as other people? You are equally capable as any person who walked on the face of the earth. You have it now, are alive in the new nature and alive in your inner body. And because of that, you can have as much of God as you want, as much knowledge from God as you pursue. Let's pray in tongues. Let's confess and meditate the Word of God, and let's expect to change our future. Let's expect that the way things are now are not how they're always going to be, not because God changed, but because we grew in the knowledge and wisdom of God and the understanding of what He expects out of us. God wants to change the world through you and through me. He wants to change our circumstances. I'm not afraid of any battle now, because I have the answer to walk through battles, to gain the victory that are impossible, and it comes from my Father teaching me who I am, and that's found by spending time with Him. You are a believer born of God, and your inner man was brought to life. Your inner body was brought to life. So when you hear people say, "Well, I heard down in my spirit," they're just trying to describe that they felt that knowledge, but they can't pinpoint how they contain that knowledge. But when you see that you simply have an inner body that's alive, and that inner body has a brain, a spiritual brain, and spiritual eyes, and spiritual nose, and spiritual fingers, and a spiritual tongue, you understand when God speaks to you, He speaks to your ears, but not your natural ears, your spiritual ears. And when you contain that knowledge and hold that knowledge, it doesn't sit in the natural man. God's not trying to fix your natural brain, because if He could have educated your natural brain about who you are in God, He could have done that before you were saved. He could have taught you before you were saved. But He couldn't. Why? Because your natural brain is a meathead. It can't understand God, will never understand God. It'll always get it wrong when you try to interpret Scripture with your natural intellect. But your spiritual brain, your spiritual mind is alive now. And so now, through your spiritual man, you can understand God. And then through that spiritual knowledge, you look over at your outward man and say, "All right, you're dumb, shut up." No, I understand God, your natural man, your natural brain will say. Your flesh will try to tell you who you are and who God is. And you'll have to, through the knowledge of your inner man, look to the outward man and say, "You're dope. You'll never understand God, so it's better you just be quiet. It's better you just stop talking." And through the spiritual man, you can put to death or mortify all the thoughts, emotions of your natural man. Because we're going to spend eternity walking around in this inner body. Eventually, the outward body will be replaced with another body, internal body. So why even try to fix it? Just make it shut up, make it submit, and bow in his knee to God and to the truth that's in your inner man. Don't give up. Believe, believe, believe that God loves you. He has great things for you. And you can walk in them. And you can learn who you are, who God is, the deep things of God, because he'll teach you spirit to spirit. God bless you. Thank you for spending time with me today. It's been my pleasure.